the once mighty drams had held it, this miracle which had been brought from the far places beyond where the sun sets. He had also been the one who had set down the law. Only the strong would inherit the walking stone. None was stronger than Gulo. To prove this, he had slain his father. But Askor, his brother, had stolen the stone. Then, like a coward, he had taken to the great northern sea to escape the wrath of Gulo the savage. With 100 vermin warriors at his command, Gulo took up the chase in his big ship, though in reality he needed none to protect him. Strongest of the strong, and wildest of the wild, Gulo could face daunting odds and emerge victorious. All his foes had fallen victim to his maniacal rage and awesome strength. He had but one remaining enemy in the world, his own brother. Gulo would not rest until he had sent Askor to Hellgates and had seized the all-important symbol of power, the Walking Stone. Leaping and rearing like a wild stallion, the vessel plunged onwards. It would journey, untamed, running with the surging currents, away from the land of ice and snow, to warmer, more temperate coasts, down to its fearless navigator's final destination, the very shores on the borders of Mossflower Country, where creatures dwelt who knew naught of what lies beyond the cold northern sea, but were soon to witness the sight, the might, and the ferocity of the beast known as Gulo the Savage. Chapter 2. In the course of a single night, winter folded the land into its earth-numbing embrace. Snow, that silent invader, fell deep and soft upon Redwall Abbey in Mossflower Country. Abbot Humble rose early from his bed in the cellars, as he always did, no matter what the season. The old hedgehog had ruled as Father Abbot for a long time. It still bemused him that he was the one chosen by all Redwallers as their leader. Humble had been a cellar hog, born to the task, with an unsurpassed knowledge of ales, wines, and cordials. No beast was more surprised than he, when 2 seasons after the passing of Abbess Fertilla, the Council of Elders, backed by unanimous approval, had elevated Humble to the lofty position, Father Abbot of Redwall. It had taken lengthy persuasion before the modest old cellar hog accepted his new role, and even then, only under his personal conditions. He would never forsake his beloved cellars. All those barrels, kegs, casks, and firkins, filled with the good beverages. Having created, nurtured, and cared for them, Humble would not hear of coming to live upstairs. The saying at Redwall was, "Humble is as Humble does." By choice, the cellars remained his home. Old habits die hard, they say. This was clearly the case with Humble. Even to this day, his first chore on rising was to check his cellars before tending to his business as abbot. Raking out the ashes from his little forge, Humble stoked up the burning embers with judicious amounts of broken barrel staves, sea coal, and charcoal. He ambled around his cellar stock, tapping, wedging, and checking the barrels. Satisfied, Humble looked in on Burlop, the present cellar hog, whom he had trained up for the job. The stout young cellar hog was still sleeping peacefully in a truckle bed tucked beneath an alcove. Humble smiled as he covered Burlop's foot paws with the eiderdown. Burlop was a good beast, trustworthy, diligent, and strong as an oak. The abbot took comfort in knowing that the cellars were safe in his care. Instinct told Humble that snow had fallen outside. He took a warm, homespun cloak from the peg behind the door and left to make his way upstairs. Friar Glisson was another early riser. The fat dormouse looked up from his work as the abbot entered the kitchens. He waved a flowery paw.
"Morning, Father. Snow's thick on the ground outside."
Humble returned the greeting as he stirred a cauldron of steaming oatmeal and began ladling out two bowlfuls.
"Morning, Gliz. I'll take a spot of breakfast up to the East Night Watch. With your permission?"
The friar spooned honey over one bowl for Humble. He gave the other bowl a generous dash of hot root pepper from a gourd shaker, murmuring half to himself,
"Carry on by all means, Abbot. I put hot root on Skipper's oatmeal. He sprinkles it on everything. Oh, wait a moment, I'll add some nutmeg to it."
He grated the sweet pungent spice over the bowl and stirred it in, winking mischievously.
"There, that'll keep the plank rutted rogue guessing."
Humble left the kitchens carrying a tray, loaded with both oatmeal bowls, a small basket of hot hazelnut toast, and two beakers of steaming colt's foot and comfrey tea. It was snowing heavily and still dark outdoors. Humble's sandaled paw printed tracks into the pristine surface of the white carpet as he rounded the south gable. Chuckling, he recalled his Dibbon days. Dibbon is the name conferred upon all Abbey babes. He remembered dashing out into the first snow with his little pals to see who could make the first paw prints. On top of the east wall's broad ramparts, Skipper of Otters stood cloaked, warming his paws at a fire in a strapped iron brazier. Turning, he spotted the figure with the tray, illuminated in a shaft of golden light from one of the rear abbey windows. Blowing snowflakes from his lips, the burly otter shouted,
"Oi! Who goes there? Friend, foe, or fool?"
Abbot Humble's cheery reply rang back at him.
"'Tis a friend, and bearing breakfast. Permission to come up?"
Skipper stamped his paws, chortling happily.
"Come on aboard, matey, afore I perish from hunger."
Bounding down the wall steps, he took the tray from Humble, cautioning him.
"Mind your step, father. 'Tis slippy on the paw."
The two friends stood on the ramparts of the abbey, facing the snow-wreathed trees of Mossflower Wood. They warmed their backs on the fire and took breakfast together, watching the rising sun make scarlet flame patterns through the leafless branches. Skipper spooned oatmeal down at an alarming rate, nodding toward the rising light.
"Here comes the good old sun. What do we do without it? Something in this oatmeal aside from hot root. An odd taste. Wonder what it is."
The abbot could not resist telling him.
"Friar Glissom said you wouldn't guess. Actually, it's nutmeg."
Skipper wolfed it energetically.
"Very nice. I like it."
The rising sun came up swiftly, bearded in a pinky fawn cloud. It shone like a ruby dipped in molten gold. Skipper paused.
"Mother Nature's miracle. Ain't it a pretty sight?"
Shielding his bowl from the whirling snowflakes, the abbot turned his gaze upon the beautiful abbey. He shook his head in wonder.
"Redwall takes on a different face with each season, my friend. See how the light catches the stones."
They both stood silent, viewing the ancient building through the falling snow. In the newborn day, its normally dusty red sandstone was turned to a pale roseate hue, reflecting sunlight from the bell tower to the weather vane. Buttresses and arches stood out in deeper shaded relief. Rear dormitory and hall windows blazed light from the risen orb of the sun, causing snow-laden windowsills to twinkle like powdered silver. Beyond the south lawns and the orchard, Redwall Abbey's pond was smooth under a thick sheet of ice. The entire scene was bordered by the walkways and battlements of the abbey's broad outer walls. Skipper placed a paw on his friend's shoulder, smiling.
"Oi, mate, 'tis a wonder to behold, and to think that you're the great Father Abbot over it all."
Humble blinked and put aside his bowl. Then he and Skipper began taking a leisurely stroll around to the west wall and the main gate.
"I was quite happy as a cellar hog, you know."
Chuckling, the burly otter replied,
"And so you still are. But you were the best piece for the job, and you deserve it."
When they reached the southwest walkway, a cry rang out from the path beyond the outer wall.
"Any breakfast should be had for two poor beasts, a wandering paw loose in the freezing winter."
Abbot Humble beamed from ear to spike tip.